Welcome to ContenderCast, a global leadership and consumer industries entrepreneurship podcast centered on shining a light on bright ideas. And now, here's your host, Justin Hahnemann.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for subscribing and following. It's Justin Hahnemann, ContenderCast. We're shining a light on bright ideas. I can't even wait. Minus Snacks is here. Yeah, I mean, like, this is so cool. This brand is amazing. Darcy Mackin is on. You're going to hear all about her story, how she launched the brand, and I've had them. Like, the food is so good. I can't even wait. Darcy, it's so great to have you on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so awesome. And thank you for sending the samples ahead. So I actually got to try them. In fact, the whole family got to try them, and everyone loves it. And awesome. I can't even wait to dive in. The Midnight Mini Cookies, amazing. You guys that are listening, you're going to want to buy and learn where you can buy, and we will cover that. Don't worry.
Thank you.
We get that, Darcy, share a little about your background, how you got into consumer goods. You've got a really great background in the industry. How about share some of that before we get to Mina?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I've had a very somewhat diverse background in food. So once I started in food, it's actually been 20 years, which is insane. But I was brought into food by way of Kellogg's. And I was actually selling cookies and crackers to Walmart. That was my first job. So actually living in Atlanta, flying to Bentonville every single week, but really, you know, cut my teeth with Kellogg's just from, you know, couldn't ask for a better place with fundamental foundational knowledge of food and all things food, meaning every different aspect, functionality. So did that for 10 years, believe it or not. So found my way, went up to from Walmart, started the Target team in Minneapolis, then went to the mothership in Battle Creek, Michigan.
There we go. I was just there last week with the food marketing event there, just outside in Kalamazoo. So funny.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I was actually featured in that several years ago now. I keep saying that.
A couple years. So funny.
Yeah. And from there, so I ended up being like this head of global sales and just really, but learning so much across the business units. And from there, I realized in the beginning, actually was a part of startups, believe it or not, call it 98, 99 out of college. And I love that entrepreneurial spirit. So I got a phone call randomly, which I never usually take, but it was through a friend. So it kind of tricked me with this idea that, you know, Noosa Yogurt just sold into private equity. And private equity was learning, was trying to build a team to grow and sell the business. I thought, well, if I'm going to do something like this, it has to be now.
Right.
So, you know, high risk, high reward, packed up the family, moved out here to Colorado. So just outside of Boulder, north of Denver. And we've been here since. So I was with Noosa then for 5 years. So it came in, grew the business from 40 million to 200 million in 3 years. So
amazing.
Fun. Great time, obviously with great products, great founders. Everything was here, which is awesome. And then from there went to, big company, you know, private equity. And then got a call from JBS, which is the world's largest food company that
very
most
familiar
people don't
with
know
that.
About because it's a private label.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's all, you know, you don't ask for, you know, JBS at the meat counter.
Right.
So learned a lot about meat, but they wanted to enter into plant-based protein in the U.S. So I started Plantera, or Ozo was our consumer-facing brand. And of course, you know, during COVID. So that's right. When COVID hit, starting a new brand, trying to break through on shelf during COVID, do not recommend for anyone. But tons of learning, fantastic product, and just absolutely loved it. That came to an end in October. And then thought to myself, okay, what's next? And still have this love for startups ever and from scratch as well, which was Plantera. And so this is now venture capitalist, which is the one area that I really wasn't that familiar with from a backing standpoint and fundraising and you name it. So I got this call from Connect Ventures that said, hey, we have this idea. We have this thesis. What do you think? And can you pull it off and pull it together? And that's really where Mina Snacks was born.
Wow.
So that kind of goes through, you know, the reason, you know, of my interest level in terms of learning more, but yet still this passion for delicious, all natural food in this marketplace.
I love it. For those who don't know, Mina Snacks, food company on a mission to create a positive relationship with snacking for our lives on and off screens, starting with the Midnight Mini Cookie, which I just shared earlier. I've had many of of, no pun intended, because you can't really just eat one. I mean, like, they're the size where you'd have multiple. They're really good too. Yeah, I mean, it's so good. So you're a year and a half in. So there's you had the idea, right? You were a co-founder and now CEO there as well. Where did you guys take the idea? Had it already been like tested out and whatnot, or was it truly like a concept that needed to be tested and then brought to market?
Yeah, Connect Ventures is fantastic because they reserve a portion of their funds for white space, for ideas. And so they knew, they've obviously seen the trends of, you know, obviously growing snack market, but then also this esports, gaming, content creation, this massive market that's been growing over the years that no one's really talking to directly, right? You sure. See people dabble around at sponsorships here and there, but it's like, surely there's an intersection between food, specifically snacking, and knowing that, to call it, gamers tend to buy more in snacks. So sure. What if we dedicated a company just talking to them or about them, and then, you know, found like my co-founder, which is Iman, or we'll call her Pokey from here on out, okay. 36 million followers, phenomenal background, you know, has been in, you know, around this industry for years. Obviously, believe it or not, you know, her age, and just said she had the same passion for snacking, but was tired of people kind of pushing the stuff that didn't make you feel great. So not the healthiest type of snacks. So we both had this vision and both realized we have a ton of screen time, by the way, just like we all do, right? Sure. So we're working from home more. We're all, you know, spending a lot more time indoors for different reasons, and thought, okay, how do we bring this to life in a modern digitally way? Kind of for that digitally native, but as well as cross generations and just people that are interested in better for you snacking, but it has to be delicious.
Got it. Interesting. Well, I love the idea behind it. And, you know, I think also for you, right, it kind of played into your background, right? You had already done work around snack, the category, right? And so did that get you excited about it, and knowing that you could match up not only building a brand and being an entrepreneur, but also kind of lean into some of your knowledge of the industry?
Absolutely. Because I said to him the first thing, I said, this actually isn't about the food. There's delicious snacks out there. Right. The food exists, right? I mean, we don't have to reinvent. It's not like we're going to come up with something crazy in a couple of years. And I said, let's not structure it that way. Let's think about this as a communication style, or bringing food to the masses. Because sure. What I learned quickly in talking to this audience, it was just a lack of awareness. Like, they don't go to, you know, grocery stores and look at every aisle like I do. Like,
right. You do, I'm sure. Yeah, I do actually overanalyze, because I work with most of those brands every day, right? I mean, it's exactly. Just you can't help it.
Totally. Exactly. So it's like, how do you not know that there's sort of like, isn't there a better version of this? Like,
right.
Actually, there's thousands of those. You just don't know about them. So I thought, let's really structure this and find some delicious food. But it's more of how we bring it to people, and using her giant megaphone, very attentive audience. And that was more about how we break into the global snack market by building this loyalty, this following, sure. You know, learning a lot more about what people are looking for, what they're snacking on better, and then what we can make better for you. So I thought, the food we know is out there. It's just really about how we bring it to more people and make people more aware for that kind of kid request, parent approved.
Got it. Okay. So did you know how you were going to start, you know, with the Midnight Mini Cookie? Did you know, you know, whether it was just going to be that one? Did you know who your target audience was? You know, what were the early days like? Early days being like 16 months ago.
Exactly. No, like, yeah. And that's it. Yeah. Timing was of the essence, because I knew, obviously, collaboration's everywhere, and I love it, because obviously the consumer and shopping behavior has changed so much just recently. So truly breaking through is a completely different playbook than it was before.
Sure.
So I always thought, so I'm going to, you know, scan out there with this kind of network that I've always used, even back to Kellogg's days of co-manufacturing. Like, I know there's a ton of really good food out there that it was qualified and never made it, or made it and just failed for different reasons. So let's just find some things out there that we know that people can make, that we can then tweak recipes to make it our own. So that was the model I knew I was going. I knew I wanted flexibility. I knew I wanted to be able to pivot quickly, because at the same time, we were listening and doing a lot of learning and understanding about this audience.
Sure.
And so we landed on one. So saw many co-manufacturers and landed on one that obviously was a great partner capacity, that happened to make delicious cookies, crackers, and cheese baked goods. And we just instantly hit it off together, created a partnership, and they happened to be gluten-free. So we didn't even set out to say like, hey, let's solve a problem for gluten-free. It just happened to be that way that, by the way, people, it's great, obviously, for people that have to have it, but people are always like, that's a nice to have.
Got it.
And it's just screams a benefit as well. And then we wanted to make sure that we had some functionality to talk to. So obviously it's GMO-free, you name it. Love the ingredients, very simple, transparent, twice the protein, twice the fiber, half the sugar of the, you know, leading competitor. But we added vitamin D as well, because it goes against like our screen time, our, you know, theory around the more you're indoors, everyone needs more vitamin D. So whether we do a cookie cracker or any category that we go into, we want some functional health benefits with it.
Got it. Yeah. So GMO free, gluten free, and contains no artificial flavors, colors, preservatives. Who was your target audience, or did you have that narrowed down somewhat from the early days?
Well, we knew by her, you know, we did this big unveil online and it was pretty cool. We did these big launch kits that went to 150 of, we'll call it influencers, obviously different industries as well. We did a big unveil online with her streaming. So just based on her audience, we knew we were going to reach, you know, call it 18 to 25, skewed toward male, but still a lot of females, because she's branching out to other industries as well. So she's trying to, again, broaden her business acumen as well. So we knew that's who was going to be listening first, which is why actually we went after this flavor profile, because that audience told us that when they're, you know, it's more of that afternoon snack and that eating occasion where they're reaching to more, call it sweet goods, that they would love a switch out of what they're currently eating.
Sure.
So because we could have done many flavors, we could have done other food forms, which we have all ready to go. But that's why we hit that food first eating occasion first based on that younger audience. But since then, we're actually learning so much more around who's actually the repeat buyer, which actually happens to be more of the Gen Z millennial, better for you, healthier eater, and higher female. So it's fascinating to see what kind of what we thought was going to happen from a purchase intent, as well as, you know, repeat purchases of who's actually it's resonating with.
Got it. And then as far as production, manufacturing, kind of channel or route to market, what were your thoughts early days and how's that progressed now to now?
Yeah, you know, initially because of timing and we were moving so fast, we said, let's just start D2C. Let's start D2C, take it from there, again, learn. And then that way we can do a lot of surveys. We have a snack lab on our website to tell us what you're looking for. So the whole idea was to bring more data, then we can be ready for retail and be way more prepared, have a better understanding of who's buying it, the incrementality, all the things that retailers care about. So we said, let's just start D2C and go from there. So that's what we did November 16th of last year. And now we're running, we're on GoPuff, Happiest Grocer. So we're starting to branch out in other channels and then turning on Amazon any day now. But again, want to be ready and make sure we're absolutely ready to go for retail, hopefully at the beginning of next year.
Got it. And then how are you pursuing retailers? Like good to get the digital part going. Are you doing that? Are you the one reaching out to your network in retail or do you have others helping you? How are you thinking about that?
I am. This is a perfect example of networking. I'm back to carrying the bag door to door. You know, I'm like, you know, Girl Scouts selling cookies door to door.
Right, of course.
No, it's been that, you know, it's kind of that grassroots of like, let me just learn, talk. Again, so much has changed that I really want to understand not just timing resets, but then kind of also getting ready to hire and, you know, build that broker network as well.
Got it. Interesting. All right. So, you talked about kind of how you're growing through and getting your volume rolling. How are you building awareness? Like, how do you get this in front of consumers that may not know Mina Snacks?
Yes. So because of we are now tapping into other audiences. So right now we are targeting paid, where we're testing not just only different messaging and visuals, but then also those different audiences as well.
Got it. Interesting. Okay. And then how do you think about roadmap from a product perspective? Is there anything you'd like to share in terms of how you think about expansion, other SKUs, that kind of thing?
Yes, we are talking about doing an LTO test in the next few months of some other flavors that we can send out to our biggest users, panels that we're creating, almost like a board of advisors from a taste testing standpoint of how, building a community of 100 to 200 people where we can just send out our, you know, kind of samples where we're thinking and sure. then get that vote back, even Ooh. Naming ideas. So we're going to do that over the next few months so we can build out the cookie category, absolutely, and then dabble into crackers and some other baked goods.
Yeah, very,
well.
Very
so
cool.
A lot coming this year.
I love that. All right, and then explain to our audience what LTO means, just in case they are not familiar. I mean, you know,
it's amazing how we get stuck in our little world. I know it's so limited time only. So very, it's just one ship in and out, and then you get to vote on it. And if everyone loves it enough, it'll become an everyday item.
Awesome, I love that. That's very, very cool. And when you think about like your role now. Versus leading back into some of the, I'll say, bigger CPG, what are the key things you've been able to pull from? You know what I mean? Like, because I have a lot of entrepreneurs on that didn't come from a big CPG and they're super successful at their brands and whatnot. And then I have others on like you that also that worked in CPG and then launched a brand super successful. Like, what are the things you're leaning into?
Yeah, it is amazing, right? Because you, especially being out here in Colorado, you just see so many startups and so many different kind of levels of. Well, you know, the founder story almost, and you know, how it was born. And, you know, for me, it is that passion, one, an energy to do all things. And, you know, so, you know, personally, I love being across everything and pulling it together, but I have to remind myself of those wins and losses in my background around, you know, keeping it very simple, you know, prioritizing. You can't do all things at once.
Sure.
And, you know, try and fail. And that was probably my biggest frustration with a big company is you weren't really allowed to do that because it took so much time to get right. all of the buy-off totally. Just to do one simple thing. And it was so frustrating. So I have to keep telling myself we have, and what makes us different. And we are different because we can do these crazy things. We could go out there and, you know, make our own decision, learn from it, pivot, keep moving. All those things keep us better and in front of, ahead of the pack, because knowing that these big companies are just handcuffed with so many different things.
Sure. No doubt. I can imagine. And then how have you guys managed like the people part in terms of the right skill sets or finding people that can help, you know, with some of the areas you may not be best at?
Yeah, you know, this is probably my biggest area of opportunity over my last two companies, because it always sounds great with everyone. You know, you right. talk to, oh, it sounds so fun. Well, it's not that fun all the time.
It's crazy.
You know, and so I am so transparent in how I find people, of just telling them like, this is the day to day and they're good and bad days. You take one step forward, maybe a few steps back and then left and right, who knows? But you have to be okay in the gray, and you have to always love a good challenge and this natural curiosity. And so I think that's kind of the pedigree, you know, of, you know, big company, small company, you name it. But, you know, at the same time, you know, so built very slowly. And again, a lot of this, you know, learning of using third parties, we don't need to do everything ourselves. Sure. And I found a great partner, John Spear. He's my head of marketing. We cross paths in multiple different industries. In the past. And then, you know, bringing on a digital and social manager, of course, that's very important to us. And so we're just now, and just hired another person for marketing, for our backend, basically, sure. you know, all things digital. And then, so it's just kind of slowly making sure that we're finding that right fit, but then, you know, filling gaps where we realize this is going to be a very key knowledge and skill set that we need going forward that we don't need a third party to take care of. So it's been very slow. We have a team of 5.
Got it. No, that's awesome. I love that. And can grow over time, right? You wear different hats to attack different challenges and opportunities. Speaking right. of that, right, you are a founder and entrepreneur, and we've got many that listen to our podcast. What would be 2 or 3 of the biggest lessons learned you'd share with them? I mean, you've done this at Plantera. You shared some of that earlier, and here you are at Mina. What would be some things you'd offer as far as advice?
You know, it depends on, you know, where you are, who you're going up against, the, you know, what your end goal is, but being very, very clear of who you want to be when you grow up. And I say that meaning, you know, a time frame of what is our end goal here. And if that is not clear, then your tactics change along the way. You know, so it always kind of goes back to, for us, you know, we said it was very different than Plantera. right? I mean, Planterra, the mission, you know, from the owners was go and beat Beyond an Impossible. I mean, that's something. So, you know, but that takes time. And then you build the business a different way. You know, so for us, we want to be a, you know, long-term CPG company that wants to bring, you know, better snacks to the masses. So just understanding then, okay, then what are those goals in 3 to 5 years?
Sure.
And so that then changes your tactics and where you spend your money, how you build your brand. And, you know, you can go grassroots, you can go, like I said, door to door or farmer's market style, or you can go bigger. And like we did with Pokey, of just how do we utilize this audience and then spend that money wisely? And so just being very clear in those goals and how you go about it, and obviously knowing you can pivot and then take big swings. You know, we talk about if you have, so much, you're not going to have a yes or no, very clear black and white pointed decision to make. It's uncomfortable.
Sure.
But the point is you get it done, you make fast decisions, and then you pivot even quicker.
Yeah, no doubt. Super cool. I love what you're doing. I love the product. Great packaging and design. So, okay, I have to ask, so where did the name Mina Snacks come from?
So the Mina is a bird. So there's a Mina bird. It is the most, it's very intelligent, highly communicative, and like second to the gray parrot, I think. So we said we're going to communicate a lot. And then it just happens to mimic this bird really well. And then we thought that could be a really cute thing that it could like be that consistent thing that shows up across all of our categories. You know, we just thought we could play with it really well. And it was available.
That's I've heard that one before too from other guests. It's like all these things and it was available.
We had some great ideas. They're like taken.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think this is super cool. I love it. All right, Darcy, before we go, share with the audience where they can find you, connect with you, buy product, etc.
Yeah. So our website, minasnacks.com. We're selling everything there as well as GoPuff. That's very coast. And then any day now on Amazon. So hopefully we're going to make that much easier to find us and get to us with the buy now button. But right now, minasnacks.com and any day Amazon.
Yeah, really great reviews, by the way, so far. Nice. You're collecting reviews even on D2C, which normally you'd get through the Amazon or other marketplace, you know, so pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Very cool. So great having you on. Got to have you back on down the road. I feel like your early days, like you're going to have a lot more story to tell just in the months ahead.
Yes.
Like whether it be, you know, new channels from a retail perspective or new products. So we look forward to having you back. Darcy, so great to have you.
I would be honored to come back. Thank you so much for doing this. I'm a big fan. Really appreciate it.
The Contender Cast is powered by Contender Brands and is the top global consumer industries entrepreneurship podcast. You can find additional Contender Cast episodes on worldwide podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, iHeartMedia, YouTube, and other preferred podcast platforms. If you would like to be a guest on the Contender Cast, connect with us at ContenderCast.com. This is Brian Benson reminding you that every winner started as a contender.